Well, Gail started out at the beginning of the month talking about the golden rule, and I'm going to continue and try to add some of my own perspective. I think of, in some ways, the golden rule is like the boomerang that you throw out and it comes right back to you if you throw it correctly. And then the children's curriculum gives you the image of the paddle ball. It's a big paddle with an elastic and a ball at the end of it. And you hit the paddle ball and it just keeps coming right back. And that's kind of how our thoughts work to us. You put something out there and it starts coming back to you. And this is called the golden rule or reciprocity or the law of cause and effect. I had a real hard time with the word reciprocity because, you know, by itself it's not a word that I use very often in my everyday speech. Mm-hmm. And so I choose to think of it as the law of cause and effect or the law of balance, that what you put out, you know, tends to come back and life proceeds in an orderly way. This concept is considered to be universal because in every culture there is a form of the universal law or the golden rule. And the children's curriculum gives you examples of all the cultures and their version of the golden rule. But it is true for all of life, and not just for me here sitting in Sterling, Virginia, but also somebody who doesn't speak my language far across the world or for the dogs as well. I've been spending a lot of time reading on the train lately, now that I'm commuting using Metro, and that's a real pleasure. I've been digging into a book called Ideas of Power, which I don't think I'd ever spent much time in before. Ideas of Power was a group of talks that had been gathered by a friend of Ernest Holmes. And they're all from very late in his life. I know you've read that many times. Last 10 years of his life. And the ones that I spent the most time in were written or were from talks given about a year after his wife Hazel had suddenly died. And I know that that was a very difficult time for Ernest Holmes because he loved his wife, and it was quite a shock to him to not have her there. And there's something about these talks that are really raw in a way, and they're powerful, perhaps because they weren't heavily edited, and I choose to think that this is probably the way that Holmes really talked and thought. So it was a treat to be able to read those. And most of the quotes I do from Holmes today are from Ideas of Power. He said, "There's a law of cause and effect that beats us up when we beat life up, and will beat the living stuffing out of us until we get tired of it and have had enough, and then we start to act in accord with the laws of harmony, which are fundamental to the nature of God and the universe in which you and I live. This is why Jesus said, 'They that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Give, and it shall be given unto you.' That is, that the law always moves in a circle." Well, I thought about other moments in life, and I thought about this painting here. I got a visual image. This is The Scream by, I think his name is Edvard Munch. And I thought about moments in my life when I have put out an enormous amount of energy, when I've just been so frustrated that I just couldn't take my life the way it was for another moment. And this picture reminds me of some of those moments. I was thinking of a time when I left my former husband. We'd had a huge fight, and I knew that the likelihood of our ever reconciling was remote. And so on the way out, I began to have a sense of relief after that fight because I began to realize that there were some things in my life that I really wanted that I didn't have. There were things like a lot of friends around, being able to cook for people and entertain and to begin to share my life in a way that I hadn't been to in the past. And I began to develop a brand new vision for my life that is still unfolding. And so I think of that moment when I gave the big scream of no to the way my life was and began to open up to a new vision. And I began to study metaphysics more in depth. and eventually became a practitioner. And my life has continued to change and grow ever since, not necessarily in leaps and bounds, but kind of as I get a new and fresh vision of what that original idea meant, my life begins to kind of grow and grow and continue to grow. So Holmes says, I can say with sincerity, and I believe with certainty, there is an immutable law of God that can make you happy and make me happy. And because we're happy, the people around us will be happy. Because we love, they will love us. And because we embrace, they will embrace us. And this is so key to, my thinking about life and the role that we play in it as students of metaphysics. We are, in our own way, we're leaders. Because that influence that we have, when we're happy, the people around us are happy. Or when we hug people or do things, we're affecting the people around us, who in turn affect others. And when you think of it that way, you begin to think of yourself as a thought leader, as having the influence over many people. We've got two dogs living with us now. I think many of you know them, Princess and Lassie. And when I come home, sometimes if my dogs are pretty energized, I walk in the door and they're both wagging their tails. Princess is excited because I'm home finally and she's going to have me around to follow all evening. Mm-hmm. And Lassie's excited because she thinks that she's going to go out for a walk. And I thought, what a great metaphor for the way I'd like to live my life, which is with that sense of eagerness. I can't wait to go for a walk and I can't wait to have other people around. And I think, well, do I wake up that way most mornings? And in preparing for the talk, I really spent time examining that. Am I excited in the morning? Am I excited about my life? Do I look forward to going into work? What adventures am I planning for my day? Excuse me. Excuse me, I got something caught in my throat. So I thought about the enthusiasm, and I thought, well, it doesn't take much, if you really think about it, to get me enthusiastic in the morning. It could be a good cup of coffee. It could be getting outside and smelling the air, especially this time of year when there are a lot of blossoms. And it could be just the sensation of walking in the grass and feeling the dew on my feet, and just feeling connected with the earth, like the song that Steve sang earlier. A man named Edward Markham said, there's a destiny that makes us brothers. No man goes his way alone. All that we send into the lives of others comes back into our own. So I began to realize that when I greet life with enthusiasm, I also infect the other people around me. And one of the things I do at work a lot is I try to walk down the hall with a smile. I try to think of something to smile about. And I have noticed over the years that when I smile at people in the hallways, they smile back at me. I don't notice it so much in the streets. People tend to be a little more guarded there. But there's something about the hallways at work where I'm always meeting new people. And there are people sometimes who will comment on the fact that I'm smiling as I walk down the hall, and I find that they often reciprocate. Or if I look away and I'm feeling distracted because I've got something on my mind, I find that people don't seem to connect with me as much. I realize that I'm isolating myself. And so I realize, wow, I do have an effect on other people. And when I do make the effort to find things in my life that I enjoy and that give me pleasure and that I can look forward to, I affect the other people around me. So Holmes says, our individual use of the law can only equal our individual capacity to understand it and to embody it. We cannot demonstrate beyond our ability to mentally conceive or mentally provide an equivalent. We must have a mental equivalent of the thing we want in order to demonstrate. And this is one of the terms in religious science that, and in New Thought, that's maybe a little strange, which is the idea of a mental equivalent. And I think of it as a picture or a mental concept of the thing that you want. It could be my concept of freedom, or I was thinking as I was preparing for this, I was thinking of my mental equivalent of cars. It's very different from David's. David's got a brand new car. He loves it. It's a muscle car. And I prefer a small car, a light car, something that is comfortable to ride in and has good sound system and gets good gas mileage. And our mental equivalents are slightly different. But it is, they've outpictured in different ways. I drive a Hyundai, and David's now driving a gorgeous Mustang. And so everything in our life, from our friends, our homes, our jobs, our families, our interrelationships with each of these families, grows from some kind of a mental equivalent that we start with and we put out there, and it comes back to us. And the challenge in life is to look at the things that perhaps, you know, we might have some issues with and say, well, I can change the way what I'm putting out, and I can look at it differently. So we can do things like appreciate the things that we have right now, or choose to find things about a person that we do appreciate, and we put out start to enlarge our mental equivalent. And Holmes keeps talking about our being able to receive as something that grows through life. So the more our mental equivalents evolve and develop, the more they grow. And you know, I'm thinking of Phil and Grace here. They've got an enormous house. And I don't know where they started out in life, but I keep thinking that they must have some mental equivalents that have been growing steadily over the years, because they just added another house on. So their mental equivalents are really good when it comes to houses. Emmett Fox says, supply yourself with a mental equivalent, and the thing must come to you. It's the food which you furnish to your mind that determines the whole character of your life. And so what we're going to be doing today is our project after the break is we're going to be working on our mental equivalent for friendship, which is always, you know, I started out with friendship is something that brings us so much support and love in our lives, and we're going to be working on ads for a friend. So let's see what time it is. It's 11:49. Take about a 15-minute break. And then Steve will start with a song right after the break. Thank you.